Oh, that's right. Gracie has gone crazy here today because we have Gerald Pitts, or is it Abraham Lincoln? Who am I talking to this morning?
Abraham Lincoln, and I'll be 55 on the 12th.
55 on the 12th. Well, your birthday is coming up. Let's see, that's Wednesday.
Yes, it is. I feel more like that after 3 years of this terrible war in which we've been engaged, that I feel more like I'll be 75.
Wow. Well, how have you felt the country is doing there, Mr. Lincoln?
Well, it's been rather quiet through the winter, of course. Both sides are in winter quarters doing training and drilling and re-outfitting, getting ready for the spring offensives. There have been some minor battles and skirmishes all about the South and one in the North, but nothing of major consequence.
I guess you're not talking about the economy in 2014.
No. Have no idea how things might turn out in 2014.
2014. Well, let me just tell you, for a person who has traveled forward and now is coming back to join you, what year are we in here?
We can either be in 1864 or we can be in 2014.
Okay, well, 1864, but coming back to 1864, there certainly were a lot of changes afoot with you, weren't there?
Well, definitely. Last year was not a good year, and yet in some ways it was a good year. We lost terribly at the Battle of Chancellorsville, but General Bobby Lee lost probably his greatest general, Stonewall Jackson, to friendly fire when he was fired upon by his own troops returning from the lines late at night. And his arm was amputated, but he died of pneumonia the following week, and that was a major loss for General Lee in the South. And in July, I had appointed General Meade 4 days before General Lee took his army in northern Virginia into a foray into the north of Pennsylvania. And they wound up colliding near a little town called Gettysburg. And two of the largest armies ever assembled ran into each other head on. The southern forces occupied the western ridge of Seminary Ridge, and the northern troops with General Meade, who was, as I said, newly appointed. He had hardly had time to learn the names of his brigade commanders, but they took control of the high ground to the east, Cups Hill and Little Round Top and Big Round Top and Cemetery Ridge. And this was shaped sort of like a fish hook, with Cups Hill being the barb at the northeast and Little Round Top and Big Round Top being down at the shank, and Cemetery Ridge, of course, being the shaft of the hook.
Wow.
Well, July 1st, there was a major battle, and the fighting continued heavily into July 2nd. And on July 3rd, General Lee made probably one of the only major mistakes of his career. He ordered a frontal assault against entrenched federal forces on high ground, and his troops had to cross almost a mile of open ground on an upgrade, and they were slaughtered. Only one group under General Pickett managed to penetrate the federal lines, and that became known as Pickett's Charge. But all in all, it was a major defeat for the Southern forces. And I was right put out with General Meade because he did not follow up and try to intercept and cut off Lee's retreat across the Potomac. In fact, I wrote a rather sharp letter to him, which I follow in my usual practice when I write letters under heat and duress. I wrote on it signed but not delivered and put it in the cabinet. And I was glad I did that, because upon reflection, I realized he had only been in command for 4 days, and as I said, could not even have known the names of all of his commanders. And they had had 3 days of extremely heavy and hard fighting, and me being in Washington and not in the field, I could not know what the conditions were on the ground. So I was being rather forward and assuming that he should have been able to intercept and cut off Lee's retreat. So wow. I was glad I did not mail that letter.
signed but not delivered. I like that. Well, we are here with a Lincoln presenter. He is known as Gerald Pitts. Many of you, I'm sure, have seen him all around Greenwood. He's a favorite at classrooms in our area. He also travels way far away to do some of his presentations and whatnot. But there are some amazing facts that you need to know about this Lincoln presenter. I'm sure a lot of them do not have as many similarities as Gerald Pitts does, Lincoln presenter of Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was 6'4", and how tall are you?
I'm 6'4" also.
And he wore a size 14 narrow shoe.
Which I also do.
His stepmother, Abraham Lincoln's stepmother, was named Sarah.
My mother was named Sarah, and she was born on Lincoln's birthday, February 12th.
Okay. You had a sister. Let's see. Abraham Lincoln had a sister named Sarah who died young.
My sister Sarah also died tragically young.
Let's see. Abraham Lincoln was an excellent writer. Do you consider yourself an excellent writer, too?
Moderate to mediocre.
Moderate to mediocre. All right. And how about this one? Abraham Lincoln sustained a severe concussion at age 9 when a mule kicked him in the forehead. And how about you?
At 14, I suffered a major concussion in an automobile accident. Abraham Lincoln's first girlfriend was named Anne. The first girl I considered to be a girlfriend, my first crush, was also named Anne, and she died tragically young, as did Lincoln's Anne, who died of typhoid at 22.
And this one really gets me right here. Abraham Lincoln shot at while riding to a soldier's home north of Washington. The bullet knocked his hat off his head and spooked the horse. And what about you, Abraham presenter Gerald Pitts?
Well, that was the 16th and last trait that I considered to have in common with Lincoln. And when I remembered that one, it was a little too eerie for me to want to continue to find comparisons. I was stationed at Fort Meade, and I'd spent the day in Washington, and I was traveling back late that night. And Fort Meade is north of Washington, and someone shot at me, and the bullet broke the windshield at eye level and ricocheted off to the right. Apparently just some nut taking a random pot shot at a motorist because there was no other traffic at all on the highway. And when I recall that incident after reading about Lincoln's experience and having his hat shot off, I decided I would quit trying to find comparisons. And I make it a habit. I will not sit in a box in any theater.
That probably is a very good thing. So what made you get interested in being a Lincoln presenter? Or what made you get interested in Lincoln, period?
Well, when I was 8 years old, my favorite aunt gave me the book, The Boyhood of Abraham Lincoln. And after reading, I thought he was really a cool character.
Grace.
And right Grace. Now, I think Gracie sees a squirrel running across the grass.
I think she sees the exact comparisons here. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
We are right back here with Abraham Lincoln, and it is a Lincoln presenter, but I'm telling you what, the comparisons are eerie. Just for the record, President Lincoln presenter Gerald Pitts, when you go with conferences, and there are a lot of Lincoln presenters, are they all tall and very much like Lincoln, or do we have some that are not?
They come in all shapes and sizes. We have a fellow in Massachusetts who's 6'8". He generally doesn't wear the stovepipe hat because he would knock it off every time he went through a doorway. We have a fellow who's only about 5'2". But wow. He's such a good speaker and presenter that you think he's 6'4".
Okay.
And some have almost no hair. A few wear toupees. I tried wearing a toupee at first, didn't like it, so I just started coloring my own hair and fluffing it up a bit. I don't have as much as Lincoln did, but it passes.
It passes. Well, you know, we were just talking about, you know, Gracie was making a little noise right there, and y'all had a dog.
When we lived in Springfield, the boys, of course, had a dog, and he was a great chaser of squirrels and rabbits, as Gracie seems to be, and... our dog had the all-American name of Fido, but Mary, of course, having been educated at Madame Mantel's boarding school for young ladies in Lexington and being fluent in French, insisted that we not spell it F-I-D-O, but P-H-I-D-E-U-X.
So there you go, folks. I tell you what, it is pretty awesome to have Abraham Lincoln here with us in the building this morning. Now, you are going to be doing a program this evening.
I'll be at the meeting room in the county library, sponsored by the Sertoma and the SC Humanities Council and the library. We hope there'll be a good turnout. The rain and if there is any snow, it's not supposed to start until after midnight, so everyone try to come out. And there's a very nice display of Lincoln and Civil War memorabilia in the foyer entryway in the glass cabinets. There are things there that you will not see anywhere else.
What is your prized possession out of this Lincoln collection?
Well, the most valuable would be one of the authenticated Lincoln signed documents with the signature of his Secretary of War. One I probably like the most, though, is the mourning ribbon. And this is M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, not mourning. And after Lincoln's assassination, thousands of badges, pom-poms, pins, mourning ribbons were made to honor the late departed president. And one of the best and most famous of these was one made by Thomas Stevens in Coventry, England, of pure silk and woven on a jacquard loom. And he was one of the first to perfect the weaving of silk on that type of loom. And it's very colorful, has a portrait of Lincoln. It's about 8 inches long, top to bottom. Has a little black tassel at the very bottom. The fold-unders at the bottom on the back say T. Stevens, and on the other fold-under, Coventry. These are highly prized. The one in the library is in very fine condition. The colors are still as bright as they were when it was dyed. The purple dye in it is made from mulberry juice, which is appropriate since the silkworms ate mulberry leaves.
Sure.
But it's a very attractive ribbon and one of the most unusual ones that was made to honor Lincoln. There's a collection also from a museum of almost every cartridge and mini ball that was used during the war. And also there's some things like a backwards fire bullet. In their excitement, soldiers frequently would drop the mini ball down the barrel backwards. And it would still fire, but it would mushroom out. And if you got hit with it, it could still kill you, but it wasn't the way you were supposed to do it. Often ramrods were left in the muzzle even, and there are cases where enemy soldiers were wounded or killed even by ramrods fired at them.
Wow. Well, you know, this has got to be a fascinating exhibit. How long have you been, what shall I say, into Lincoln?
Well, as I said, when I was 8 years old, I developed an interest in liking for him, read some other books about him. He's always been my favorite president. About 6 years ago, I read an article in, I think, Newsweek, which had six or seven members of the Lincoln Association in costume, and the headline over the article was, "Honest, They Aren't Honest Abe." And it gave a three-page history of the Association of Lincoln Presenters and their mission, which is to travel throughout the country and educate people about the history and values and traits of Abraham Lincoln and the effect he had on the country.
Is that when you got into being a Lincoln presenter?
I called the gentleman who was listed in the article as being the membership chairman, Jim Sayer, who lived in eastern Kentucky, and he was very enthusiastic. I joined the association. I went to Lincoln Days in Hodgenville, Kentucky, Lincoln's hometown, and they hold that the first weekend of every October. And I met Jim, and he was an absolute dead ringer for Abraham Lincoln himself.
I bet he looked at you, though, and said, you could be Lincoln.
Yes, he said, I definitely ought to join the organization, and I would make a good Lincoln. He, in fact, had won for 10 years in a row the Lincoln Lookalike contest that they held during Lincoln Days, and he finally retired and withdrew from competition to give the others a chance. I came in second once. Perhaps someday I might make it first as the best Lincoln Lookalike. Maybe if no one else shows up.
Oh, come on now, Gerald. I tell you what, with all these things, being the same height, wearing the same size shoe, having a stepmother, it was your mother named Sarah. You had four sons. He had four sons. I mean, just unbelievable, the comparisons here. Does it ever, when you first started making these comparisons, did it ever scare you? I would think I would become a little bit scared. Whoa, this is too much.
Well, the last one being shot at as Lincoln was, in possibly somewhere not far from the actual location of that he had been, that was a little scary, as I said. At that point, I quit trying to come up with comparisons. There might be some more out there, but I'm not trying to think of them.
That's right. Well, now, part of the what's going on tonight at the library at 6 o'clock, that's tonight at the American Veterans Auditorium, Abraham will be there, and so will your wife.
Mrs. Lincoln will be there. She's not totally recovered from the carriage accident, which she had last year, but she's doing rather well, and she has agreed to attend this time. I don't know that she'll take questions, but certainly I will involve her in the program.
Wow, that sounds so neat. Now, what exactly happens when you do a program? What type of things? How does
absolutely
your program
anything
work?
Is possible.
Anything is possible. Okay then, folks.
I do programs pitch at age groups anywhere from first grade all the way up to retirement homes, senior citizen groups, and I pitch the program toward the audience. I walk in, see who's there, and decide on the spot how I'm going to play it. I recall I did one program a couple of years ago. I walked in. There seemed to be a lot of young people and kids there. So I asked the audience, since we seem to have a lot of youngsters here, do you older folks mind if I sort of play my program more toward them? And everyone thought that would be nice, and it turned out they really enjoyed it. I won't tell some of the things that I asked
the kids. Got to build the anticipation, yes.
One thing the kids always enjoy is the hat drop. If I am doing a elementary group and the children are young enough, I take my big stovepipe hat, which is 9 inches high, and I hold it over the child's head, and I have a parent or teacher take a picture, and then I drop the hat, and it invariably, unless the child has very large ears, will go all the way down to his shoulder, of course, and that makes a great picture, and they all seem to enjoy it. And I tell them in advance, I can only do this with one child. Otherwise, I would be there doing
all
it
day
with all of the others. And I ask the kids some questions. 3 points I always try to make with the children, whether it's in a school setting or anywhere else. One, study, read, learn everything that you can. Your education is the only possession you have that cannot be stolen away from you or lost. And two, be honest in all of your endeavors. Your friends will trust you, and it will mightily astonish your enemies.
Yes.
And third, persevere. Be diligent. I failed 11 times in politics. I went bankrupt twice trying to operate a general store, and yet I became president in spite of all of that. I had no education. Less than 1 year of formal schooling. Everything else I got on my own by reading, studying. So read, be honest, never give up.
Never give up.
Did George Washington give up? No. Did Thomas Jefferson give up? No. Did Benjamin Franklin give up? No. Did George Thompson give up? And now you're thinking, who's George Thompson? You don't know, because he gave up.
Okay, well, there you go. That is a great one. Now, you do programs all around the state and beyond, don't you?
I've done a few in Georgia, and I go all over the state. I've been from Lake City to Walhalla, from above Greer to the auditorium on Calhoun Street in downtown Charleston. And I must say, as Abraham Lincoln in Charleston, I was not quite sure how I might be received, but I did not get one catcall, or no one tried to heckle me. In fact,
you went out in public dressed as Lincoln?
The Buist Academy had asked me to come talk to their seventh grade, and they were only two blocks from the auditorium, so I walked in costume rather than try to drive. Those of you who've been to Charleston know how hard it is to find a parking place for your carriage. And every single car that went by pulled over, and they rolled down the window and said, "Hello, Mr. Lincoln. Hello, Mr. President." And they were all quite friendly. On reflection, however, I reckon they could have all been visiting Yankees.
Hadn't thought about that, had you? Well, no. Listen, we've got to tell you that this is WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. We are here with Gerald Pitts this morning, who is a dead ringer for Abraham Lincoln.
Let's not put the emphasis on the dead.
That's right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Gerald is going to be there, or Lincoln is going to be there this evening. You will not believe how much he looks like. If you see him, you will know that this is him. And even when he's not in costume, you know, he looks pretty much like Abraham Lincoln. But, Gerald, you will be tonight at 6 p.m. at the library at the American Veterans Auditorium. But that is tonight, 6 p.m. You don't want to miss it. You'll have a great time there. If you go, you will have a great time. And, of course, his wife, Jimmy Neal, will be there, too. And you are also going to be doing a program down there at the State Museum coming up in April, isn't it?
Yes, in July, the State Museum asked me if I would do my original one-act play when they had the Traveling Lincoln exhibit, which is going to all of the states, and it'll be at the State Museum in South Carolina and Columbia in April, and tentatively the date is April 12th for the program. That will be a Saturday.
Wow, that sounds great. Well, you'll have to keep us in the loop on that. We'll be sure to tell everybody about it. Hey, President Lincoln, thank you so much for coming by today, 2 days before your birthday. Happy birthday.
And indeed, a pleasure, Mrs. Eller, and thank you very much.
All righty. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. I'll be back at 4 this afternoon with Ben Homeyer with NFIB. We're going to be talking about some of the issues that affect all of us, but particularly those in business. We'll be back at 4. Don't you go away. That's going to do it for me for right now. Bye-bye, everybody.